سلام.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We start out by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all our praise and our gratitude. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is aware of all the things that are in between the earth and the skies. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing escapes His knowledge. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is capable of everything. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who holds the keys to the treasures of the world. We then send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was sent as a mercy to mankind and an example for us of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live our lives. We then send peace and blessing upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, those who helped him and aided him, amma ba'd, thereafter. We come to a unique time of the year where within the next week, life for many of the people around us will change. And this is because our children are now going back to school. In the past couple of months, we stepped out of our schedule. Usually we have a set schedule. This is when you sleep, this is when you wake up, this is what you do during the day, you go to school, you run errands. But over the past couple of months, we have stepped out of schedule. And now that things are going to go back to somewhat normal, it's important to understand that when the schedule comes back to the way it's supposed to be, there has to be some sort of changes. If you go back to last year's schedule and this year, the school year of 2023 and 2024 is the exact same of the previous year, then all you're doing is rinsing and repeating, and there's no change. There's no improvement. And that is not called a life. You can't do the same thing over and over 70 times and call it a life. That's not how it works. There has to be some sort of change, some sort of improvement. And now when it comes time to the new school year, the improvement that's needed is the understanding of the value of knowledge, the importance of knowledge. And this knowledge can be of any type. Whether it's our children that are going to school, for them to understand that the knowledge you will get, whether it's English, science, mathematics, social studies, any of it, it brings a value to your life. But on top of that, if you can add Islamic knowledge, then that is even more important. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith, it says, talabul ilm faridatun. The way that our five times salat is mandatory, we have to do it. The way that fasting in the month of Ramadan, the way that zakat, the way that hajj, the way that taking shahada, all of these things are mandatory. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that learning knowledge, and the important part to understand here that this is not just for our children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that learning knowledge is mandatory for your children, but he left it general that learning knowledge is mandatory. The Arabic saying is, "Utlubu al-ilm min al-mahdi ila al-lahdi." Some people associate it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's not a hadith. But the saying is that seek knowledge from your cradle till your grave. We think that the prime age of seeking knowledge is 20, 25, 30. After that, there is no seeking knowledge. If somebody is in college, after this, or if somebody is taking classes after this, we look at this person and say, what's wrong with you? Your days of studying are over. But you look at the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what you will see is, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they made a sacrifice for knowledge no matter what their age was. And that's the key word. Knowledge requires sacrifice. If I think that knowledge will come to me without any sacrifice, that it should be as easy as ordering food off of Uber Eats, you're wrong. There is no Uber knowledge. We don't DoorDash knowledge to you. That's information. You can get information online. It's different. There's difference between knowledge and information. Knowledge, you have to make a sacrifice. Knowledge, you have to go out of your schedule. Knowledge, you have to stop everything that you're doing and bring your kids to gain knowledge. And the difference between knowledge and information is, knowledge is something that gives you benefit. Knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of Islam, the hadith, what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, fiqh. And our masjid, ICF, we're at a point where now all of the educational programs are about to start. Quran Academy is going to start. The HIFT program is going to start. We have Safwa, we have Uswa, we have Sunday School, so many rare learning programs, so many different educational programs that the masjid has, but the sad thing is many of us are actually unaware of it. But imagine how sad it is that even though the masjid has a program, we don't utilize that program. So many different places, if they had a small program like this, we have maybe 10 different education programs. Without any exaggeration, ICF has around 10 different educational programs running through the school year. And for a masjid that's not in like Dallas, a single one of those programs would be so greatly appreciated. And now if we say, wait, Sheikh, we appreciate the program, you have to back up those words with actions. Ask yourself, how many of these programs do I attend, or do my children attend? So many times we look for comfort. And comfort in other things is okay. But when you show comfort in things when it comes to religion, that's a message that you're sending your children. If I tell my child that, Berta, it's going to be hard for me to take you from the home to masjid and take time out, and because of this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in front of a computer for my comfort, and you're going to learn with somebody overseas that's through a screen, and you ask yourself, if you were to take an online program, how effective is it? If I were to, as an adult, if I were to take an online program versus in person, which one is more effective? And the answer is, of course, in person. And now you take that and you put that to a 10-year-old who has an attention span, a very minimal attention span. And then you ask yourself the question, why isn't my child learning Quran online? The message that we've sent to our children is that there is no importance here. Comfort comes before knowledge. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he points out, he says, whoever sets out on the path, man salaka, whoever sets out on the path, that look, this journey of knowledge will not be easy. It'll be difficult. Some people take their children and drop their children off in a foreign country. Why? So that they can gain knowledge. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, khayrukum, the best amongst you, man ta'allama al-Qur'an, is a person who has knowledge of the Qur'an. In the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ He says, is it possible? A rhetorical question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, is it possible that these two people can be the same? A person that has knowledge versus a person that doesn't have knowledge. He's saying, absolutely not. There are two different levels. And we're, number one, it's important to make this intention that this is what I want for my child. I want my child to get their knowledge from not behind a screen, but from heart to heart, where they understand what it is coming to a class, where they make a connection to a teacher. Start them off with Quran. Start them off with Qaeda. Start them off with basic information. The Sunday school, like I said, the Safwa. And then for ourselves as adults, it's important that we stay hungry for knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he says, Man humani la yashba'an. He says, there are two hungry people that there's nothing that satiates them. They will never be full. Two people that will always be hungry. And he says, Man human fil ilm. Number one, when a person gets a true hunger for knowledge, this person can never have enough. Once you understand what knowledge is, you just want to learn more and more and more. So many times people think that, oh, I already know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, upon everybody that's knowledgeable, there's somebody that has even more knowledge. But knowledge comes with a responsibility. And that responsibility is, number one, to act upon the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, a lot of times we think that if I make my child hafiz, I've secured their jannah. Or if I give my child information or knowledge, or if I bring them, parents come and say that my child was in Sunday school, how come they're doing this? My child was in the Quran program, how could they do this? The reality is, knowledge is not your certificate to Jannah. It's the tools that you need to get to Jannah. Then it's up to you. You have all the tools, you have everything that you need, but imagine that person who takes these tools away from their child. Imagine buying a bed from IKEA, taking the instructions and telling your child, go make that bed. It's not going to happen. It's already hard enough to make that for an adult. It's already hard enough for an adult like you and I to earn our place in Jannah. It's not easy in this world. It's difficult. Then how do you expect to send your child out without the right tools, without the right knowledge? Where they're going to college, they're going to high school, and they're being challenged about their deen, tell us what makes Islam the right deen. But they don't have the tools to answer that question. Why don't they have that tool? Why don't they have the tools? Because I never made it a point to give my children the correct knowledge that they need. I thought to myself, if I bring my child to Sunday school, I've done my part. That's it. I'm going to pick my child up outside. At 2 o'clock when Zuhr Salah is happening, I'm going to tell my child to come outside so that we can get home quickly. But that's me doing my responsibility for the full week. The child gets into the car and you ask him, Berta, because you want to be a parent that's engaged your child, you ask your child, that Berta, what did you learn? And the child says, I learned the importance of Salah. Can we go inside and pray? It's Salah time. I just learned the importance of Salah, and you're asking me to come outside. So what we understand is, number one, is that giving your children the knowledge is investing in your children in a long term. Because one day, inshallah, they'll be able to act upon that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He says, that the example of a person who has knowledge but doesn't act upon it, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَصْفَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, imagine that there is a donkey, himar, and on its back is asfara, are these huge books. You have the Quran, you have Bukhari, Muslim, Nasai, whatever, an encyclopedia. But does that animal benefit from it? No. Until you don't act upon that knowledge. Until you and I don't act upon that knowledge. Now, one point that I'll make. A lot of times we make the excuse. We often say, but I don't really have time. I work, I own a business, I spend time with my children, I go to the gym, I have to be at my work 9 to 5, whatever it is. I don't have time to, attend the halaqas. I don't have time to take a class. And what comes to my mind is the example of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates a hadith and he says that me and my Ansari brother, we had this deal. And the deal was, one day he would go and learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at night I would take the information from him. He would share what he learned. And the next day, I took time off of work, and I went and learned with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then at night, I shared with him. Abu Huraira, people ask Abu Huraira, You lived a very short period of time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is it that you've narrated the most hadith? And Abu Hurairah says that my Ansari brothers, they were busy in the farms. And my Muhajir brothers, they were busy in the market. There were those people that had businesses, that had restaurants, that had clothing stores, and there are those people that were laborers, they worked. But he said that I understood that this part right here is where I need to maximize and just learn as much as knowledge as I can. And he said, I didn't work in the farms, I didn't work in the market, I dedicated my time to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mention this all the time, that every time that you see a sheikh or somebody up here, every time you see somebody on this musalla and you, in your heart, you feel this, gosh, only if I wish, which is fine. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you are actually allowed to have hasad on two people, to feel envious of two different people. He says, number one, the person that you're allowed to feel envious of is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted with wealth, and then that person spends it in the right path. They donate, they give, they share. And the second person is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with knowledge. That you are allowed to be envious of this person. So every time you see a person on that musalla, every time you see a person standing on this minbar, and you feel, I wish, gosh, my child was there. What if my Ahmed was there? What if my Aisha was the one that was giving the khatra? Understand that gosh, that wish, it requires dedication. Dedication along with intention that you as a parent have to make. And that intention has to be followed. So number one, your child has to be dedicated. Number two, you have to have the intention. Number three, you have to lead by example. When you show this hunger for knowledge, then your child will have the hunger for knowledge. And you open the path, and then you give them the option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, very beautiful once again, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us out of the wombs of our mothers. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You didn't know anything. When Allah took you out of the womb of your mother, you didn't know anything. But today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you knowledge of the dunya. Pair that with a knowledge which is even more important, of the akhirah. This deen talks about learning good in this dunya and learning good in the hereafter. I'll end up with a dua where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek protection from knowledge that is of no benefit. And the reason why I share this, because when I was a child, the reality is that my children versus when I was a child, my children are much more smarter than I am. If you're a parent, you agree. You give a 5-year-old a tablet and they know exactly what to do. They pick up knowledge. They learn, they adapt more than what we did. Now the reality is either they feel that hunger, that void, with knowledge of that which is of information that has no benefit. Child comes and says to me that, Sheikh, let me tell you the stats of Luka Doncic. How many rings LeBron James has won? How is that going to benefit me? Alhamdulillah, may Allah give them more, but that doesn't benefit me. And so either your child learns knowledge about Pokemon, about Minecraft, and God knows what, or you give them knowledge that will actually improve the quality of their life. And this is actually an investment in yourself. Because a very famous hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, when a person dies, you and I are not here to stay. The next generation will take our place. But the Prophet ﷺ says, when a person dies, their book of deeds is closed, except for a few different ways. Number one, knowledge that is passed on. Number two, sadaqah jariyah, charity that you give that people benefit from. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, a child that will make dua for you after you're gone. So you learn something, you teach your child that, your child passes on. And then when you better the quality of your child's life, when tomorrow your child, inshallah, is firm in their deen, they will go outside, they will go to work in a non-Muslim environment, and as a Muslim, they're proud, alhamdulillah. I know my deen is true, I'm fine. I believe in the Quran, and not just because, you know, that's what I was taught, but I understand the Quran, I understand the Hadith, I understand the value that my religion gives to me. Your child will raise their hand and make dua for you, that my Abba chose the right path for me. Those classes that my mother used to take me, she had food on the stove, but she left the house and brought me to the masjid. I appreciate that. The sacrifice that my dad used to make when he brought me to the halaqas. The sacrifice that my parents made taking me to classes. I appreciate that, and they make dua for you after you're gone. So the importance of knowledge, again, this topic is very broad, and how it affects our society, and how it affects our children. But we come to a part of the year where things are about to go back to normal, back to schedule. So this is where you choose, do I actually bring a difference? Add in some Quran classes for your children. Add in, you know, uswa for yourself, adult classes. So if your child are not in the Sunday school, enroll them in the Sunday school. The masjid offers this. If you don't utilize it, then what's the benefit? أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم من سائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه غفور. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for infinite mercy Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us knowledge that is a benefit Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you make us people who take the path of knowledge ourselves That we become good role models for our children and give them knowledge. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for knowledge of the Quran, we ask for knowledge of Hadith, we ask for knowledge of this dunya and of the hereafter. Oh Allah, give us knowledge of this deen. Oh Allah, give us knowledge of this dunya as well. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you put our children in the best of schools, in the best of colleges, in the best of environments. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that if there's anybody in our gathering that is going through any type of difficulty, that you remove those difficulties from their path. Oh Allah, those of us that are struggling within our families, Oh Allah, we ask that you give us peace within our families. Oh Allah, those of us that are struggling financially, Oh Allah, we ask that you give us ease. Oh Allah, those of us that are struggling with our health, we ask that you give us a cure. Oh Allah, those of us that have lost a loved one. Oh Allah, this past week, Sheikh Ibn Nasir Jangda lost his father. Oh Allah, we ask that you give them peace in the heart. Oh Allah, we ask that you fill the deceased's grave with nur and light. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask that you be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك إياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله
أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. There's a few dua requests. The mother of Brother Anwar Khan had a surgery yesterday and has not woken up yet. Also, Brother Sayyid Aliuddin Ahmad Laik, he's in the ICU. Brother Muhammad Najib is in the hospital. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them a quick, complete shifa. Dua Maghfirat for number one, of course, the father of Sheikh Abdul Nasir Jangda. Also for Sayyid Diwar Hussein Qadri, Brother Andaz Raza, Sifat Ibrahim, all of them have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give their family patience and strength during this hard time. Allah subhanahu forgives their sins. Also, inshallah, later on today, after Asr Salah, we have a back-to-school program for younger kids. You can find the details outside. It's a anti-bullying program, which we were talking to our children about how to deal with bullying at school. After Maghrib, there is a middle school program as well, a trivia program. So if you have children in the middle school, you want to bring them after Maghrib. If you have children in elementary, inshallah, you want to bring them after Asr. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Just a couple more announcements. Firstly, we'd like to invite all of our members to sign up to be recurring monthly donors, even if it's a small amount, $20, $50, any amount helps. Southwest Seminary is also taking enrollment for middle and high schoolers. You can sign up for that program at friscomusjid.org/Safwa or attend the open house on August 12th at 2:15 p.m. Uswa Seminary, which is an adults education program for the Introduction to Quranic Sciences with Sheikh Salah, is taking registration as well. You can sign up for that at go.friscomusjid.org/Uswa Quranic Sciences. We also have a Thanksgiving Umrah that lasts from November 18th to 27th, and that is going to, you can sign up for that at tinyurl.com/ICF Umrah 2023, or by checking out the flyer on any of the tech boards in the lobby or the top of the stairs. JazakAllah, everybody. Assalamu alaikum.